morning. Hallelujah. Sometimes the pastor just needs another song or two. I can't explain it. Sometimes I just need a little bit more just to get me to that place where I'm ready. Hallelujah. If you got your Bible, hold it up. If you don't have your Bible, hold your hand up and repeat after me these words. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the incorruptible, indestructible seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, 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 never. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, please remain standing. Open your Bibles to the Gospel according to John. John's Gospel, chapter 10. Hallelujah. John chapter 10. I love our little confession we do. By the way, I didn't get it from Joel. I got it from his daddy. Now that was a preacher. He preached the blood and the cross. John 10. I want to title my message today, stay close to the shepherd. Stay close to the shepherd. John 10 verse 11, follow in your Bibles as I read for us. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, speaking of the Gentiles. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And there he's talking about the cross and the resurrection. If you would, take someone's hand next to you, and let's go together in prayer as a family here this morning. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time to be in your house. We thank you for each one that's turned aside from the cares of the world to come to the house of God to give you praise. Lord, I'm asking that today you give me unction to preach, and that God, you would anoint this people in this place with a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost and fire. I pray that God, you would touch the needs of each one here today, and that Lord, when we leave this place, we would leave transformed, renewed, restored, God, and walking in all the things that you've called us to walk in. Lord, call us up a little bit higher today, Lord. And God, we give you the praise. May you alone receive the glory today. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's time to get close to the shepherd. Amen. It's time to get close to the shepherd. I've got really two main points this morning. The first is this. Are you listening to me? Say, I'm listening to you. Number one, stay close because there are wolves. I don't know if you realize this morning, but there's a lot of wolves out there that would like to destroy you today. Some of these are two-legged wolves, and they wear a suit and tie or breeches or a dress and may even wear shoes if they're not from Johnson County. There are wolves out there that are out to destroy you. Last night when you went to bed, you said your prayers, you closed your eyes, and you went to sleep. Hopefully slept a good night's sleep. But I want you to know that all night long there was a devil that was out planning your defeat today. Some of them he succeeded in. They didn't make it here this morning. They let the least little thing distract them or prevent them or keep them from God's house. But there were a few that said, no, devil, not today. Not today. And tomorrow's not looking too good either. Amen? And so this morning, I want you to know that we need to stay close to the shepherd, because there are wolves out there. They will destroy you. They'll take your marriage apart. They'll take your children off into drugs and alcohol and promiscuity. They'll take your mind into areas that it shouldn't be. They'll cause you to have a heart that's bitter and full of anger and hatred. I'm going to tell you, there's wolves out there, folks. And the only way to deal with these wolves is we got to stay close to our good shepherd. We got to stay close to him. I like to stay close to him. First of all, the good shepherd, he smells good. Amen. Yesterday, Brother Keith had been doing some work for me, and then he took Evan fishing, and they caught a nice mess of fish, and he came into the house to help me fix my stove that wasn't working. And I got up close to him, and I'm sorry, Brother Keith, but I noticed you didn't smell too good for just a minute there. I love you anyhow. But that was the smell of a working man. Let me tell you, our good shepherd, he's always working, but he always smells good. Praise God. He smells good all the time. Keith will get me for that later. He always smells good, so I like to be next to him. The Bible tells us that he has a sweet smelling savor to him. Hallelujah. There's a sweetness about our good shepherd. Amen? But I'm going to tell you, I like being close to him, not only because he smells good, but because he is good. Amen? He said in that first verse I read, I am the good shepherd. Hallelujah. You know, not every shepherd's a good shepherd. Do you know that? It's hard to think of that because we often just think of the good shepherd. But not every shepherd is a good shepherd. There are some shepherds that are of the devil that will lead you the wrong way. Can I get an amen? Amen. They'll lead you the wrong way. If you don't believe it, just go back a few years to a place called Guyana in South America. And there was a man named Jim Jones, a shepherd. And hundreds of people, he taught them into drinking Kool-Aid laced with cyanide and strychnine. And babies, little babies, were given that by their mamas. Little children gave that in their bottles. And hundreds of people died because he was not a good shepherd. There's some bad shepherds, folks. There's some bad shepherds. I hope I'm going to be a good shepherd. Now, I'm not the good shepherd, but I want to be like the good shepherd as best I can. Let me tell you something. One thing I'll tell you about me, I'm not a hireling. He describes a hireling here, a person that comes and he serves just for money. I don't come for money. When I came to this church, I didn't ask what the church would give me. Of course, I knew they couldn't give me much because it wasn't but 12 people coming. So I knew that wasn't going to be much, but I don't ever ask. I remember when I went to Jacksonville to pastor, big church down there, they said, now the deacon said, we want to have a meeting with you, with the financial committee, and we'll go over your package and everything that we're going to be giving you in financial compensation. I said, I don't want to have that meeting. Oh, but you have to have the meeting. Every prospective pastor comes to the financial meeting and finds, I don't want to know. He said, why don't you want to know? I said, because it might distract me. I'm not coming for dollar bills. I'm coming for God if I come. And I'm going to tell you, that's been my philosophy. Don't pin no roses on me. I'm just telling you, that's what's expected of us. We don't serve God for those things. We serve God because we love Him. Amen? And I love the good shepherd. I like being close to him because he smells good. He is good. But I'm going back to that point. He keeps me safe. Hallelujah. I've never gotten in trouble when I was at the feet of Jesus. I've never gotten in trouble or messed up or said the wrong thing or did the wrong thing when I had the mind of Christ about me and I was up close to him, because he will never lead you the wrong way. Amen. God will never lead you the wrong way. He'll lead you the right way. So many today are confused. We have in our culture today, So many have blurred the lines between what is right, what is wrong. I mean, my God, we don't even know what bathroom to go to anymore, you know? Men marry men and women marry women, and that's sin. I'm going to tell you, Romans 1 says it's sin. If you don't like it, I'm sorry, but you can argue it with God in Romans chapter 1. People are confused today. I had somebody ask me about marrying them a couple of weeks ago. And I said, really, I don't like to marry anybody that doesn't attend church where I pastor. I said, I don't want to get into this situation with this gay marriage and all of this because I'm not doing it. And they wrote back and said, well, I don't understand that. Why, if somebody loves somebody, why it isn't right for them to go on and get married? I said, because Romans chapter 1 in the Bible says it's not right. We've got people today that say, well, what's wrong with abortion? They're confused. They're confused. And they think that abortion is just making somebody's life easier. And it's just a mass of cells and tissue. It's not easy. Let me tell you, that's a life ordained and given by God Almighty. And to take that life is murder. It is murder. The same as when Cain slew Abel. It is just as much murder. And the innocent blood is crying out to God Almighty. I'm going to tell you, we're going to give an answer to that one day if we don't repent as a nation. Amen. Brothers and sisters, so many are confused. But if we'll get close to the Good Shepherd, He'll protect our minds from what the wolves are trying to tell us is right all around us. You know, I'm amazed how many people that are Christian people will sit down and watch programs like Ellen and Oprah and things like this that are filling their minds with foolishness and a worldly perspective. My God, I'm going to tell you, you need to get that out of your house. You need to get Harry Potter out of your house. You need to get these Harlequin romances, Ouija boards, and all this mess out of your house. Because all it is things that the wolves have set up to try and trap you with. Oh, I might not have 10 people here next Sunday, but I ain't worried about it. Glory to God. The Good Shepherd. Stay close to the Good Shepherd, because the closer we are to the Good Shepherd, the safer we will be from the wolves. Secondly, stay close to the Shepherd. Not only because He'll protect us, not only because it's pleasant being by Him, He smells good, not only because He is a good, good shepherd and a good, good father, but I'm going to tell you, stay close to the Shepherd, because there are great blessings to be enjoyed. The Bible says at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Isn't that Bible? At my right hand are pleasures forevermore. And I don't mean worldly pleasures. I don't mean the pleasures of sin that are but for a season. But I mean there are things that are blessings that come from God like none other. You know, in Psalm 23, my favorite psalm, turn there in your Bibles. I'd have to say that's probably the favorite psalm of the majority of people that I know. Psalm 23, follow in your Bibles. I want to give you five quick things out of Psalm 23. He begins by saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, when you stay close to the Good Shepherd, it's amazing how you don't want so many things of the world. Isn't that true? You can tell when somebody's getting away from the Good Shepherd, all they're thinking about is this thing and that thing and how they can buy this and have this. Their mind isn't on the Good Shepherd. The Bible says, set not your affections on things below, but set your affection on things above. Amen. Things below, they're going to tear up. They're going to rust. They're going to get stolen. They're going to break. But you set your affections on heavenly things, and God will bless you, and it lasts forever. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I tell this every time, and I guess I'll keep telling it. I won't break my streak here. But there was this little girl, and she was in Sunday school, and they were told to recite this psalm. And she said, the Lord's my shepherd, that's all I want. And the teacher got on to her and said, honey, that's not right. You'll never get your gold star till you say it just like it's written. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Say it now right. The Lord's my shepherd, that's all I want. After Sunday school, she got the little girl and said, we're going to see the pastor. You're just being obstinate and rebellious. Went and talked to the pastor. Said, all right, now tell him what you, tell him the first verse of Psalm 23. She said, the Lord's my shepherd, that's all I want. Pastor said, I don't see a problem with that. Amen. Give her the gold star. You know what? She might not have said it right, but she knew it right. When the Lord's your shepherd, that's all you want. That's all you want. God help us to be like that. Point number one. Look at what it says, where he leads us. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Hallelujah. You think about the blessing of the good shepherd. He will lead you to places where you will be fed. Places where the innermost part of you is satisfied. You know, I tell people all the time. Folks that you see on pills or on alcohol or going from one relationship to another, they're trying to pour those into a hole in their heart. The problem is the heart, the hole in your heart, it's shaped like a pill bottle or a liquor bottle or a beer can or a beautiful woman or a handsome man or a dollar bill or a new car or a new house or a big trophy. The hole in your heart is shaped like this. The only one that can fill the hole shaped like this is the one that did this. Yes. And he said, I'll lead you into green pastures. Green pastures. Jesus knows just what we need to feed upon. You know, sometimes he gives me a good old big slice of humble pie, Brother Reagan. You know, sometimes I just feel like heaven comes down one Sunday. And I mean, I plumb go to amen in myself when I listen to the CD. My God, that's good preaching. Give it about 2 days. Oh boy, I fall flat on my face. I look so stupid. I mean, I'm going to tell you, it's amazing. I remember one time I preached at a big Bible conference. And boy, after the thing was over, I shook hands for probably 30 minutes or more. People just, oh my God, that was good. I was 22 years old. Just out of college. And I thought I knew it all. And I preached to all this huge crowd filling up this big auditorium down at ABAC at this Bible conference. They come up to me, oh, that was so good. That was so good. That was so good. Man, I left out of there. My head was about like this big. You know, I was walking. I thought, doggone, I know more than all these old preachers. What's wrong with them? I mean, they just need to listen to me. They shouldn't even have nobody else on the program. I didn't really think that, but I mean, I wasn't far from it. That night, after all the services were over, a bunch of young people, my age and all, we went out to eat, Shawnee's. We came back, and in the open area when you first come into the dorm where we were staying, there were some little kids, I don't know, trying to see some, about like this baby right here. Maybe they were 5 or 6 years old, a little bit older maybe, but they had a little Bible game they were playing. They said, Brother Tom, oh, we're so glad to see you. I was like celebrity, you know. Said, come sit down, play this game with me. And I sat down. They drew a card. And they said, this is yours to answer. And I can't even remember what it was, but I couldn't answer that card. I mean, I couldn't answer the question, the Bible question. It's called Bible trivia. That's what it's called. Just remember what it's called, Bible trivia. Anyhow, this little girl, about 6 years old, she said, I know the answer. And she said, what are da-da-da-da-da? And she was right. You know what? God knew I need to go to a green pasture called humility that day. And boy, I got a bait of it. I got a bait of it. God knows what we need. He's a good shepherd. He'll lead you to green pasture. Sometimes you need encouragement, and he'll lead you to that. But sometimes you need to be humble a little bit. And you know, I want to be humble. You know why I want to be humble? Because the Bible says God gives grace to the humble. The pride goes before a fall, but God giveth grace to the humble. I want God to give me grace, don't you? Yes. Hey, secondly, the good shepherd, not only will he lead us into green pastures, but he'll lead us beside the still waters. Something I noticed about still waters, Jackson, is this. The still waters run the deepest. You know, when you see water with ripples and the water dancing over the stones in the mountains and these streams, that's shallow water. But where you see a long, calm section of water, that's where the water's the deepest. And let me tell you something. God likes leading us as His sheep to deep water. We went to deep water last Sunday here at Oaky Grove. We went in some deep water. Wednesday night, we went in some deep water. And we need to get into deep water. We need to, the Bible says, deep calleth unto deep. God's calling for us to have a deeper walk, not just some cursory, superficial walk with Him. He's calling us to a deeper walk, folks. And I'm going to tell you something. You will not be satisfied with that cursory, superficial, elementary, baby walk with the Lord forever. You won't be satisfied because the Holy Spirit, He'll keep calling you. He'll keep saying, come on. Come on, you're not going to be satisfied with that. Come on, let's go deeper. Let's go to the deep water. Hallelujah. I remember one time Brother Jeff went with me to a place where I was preaching a revival. And I can't even remember exactly what all happened, but I remember there was a little kid there. And the Spirit of God was on that little kid. I believe it prayed for Brother Jeff, I remember. I can't remember exactly what happened. But tears began to roll down his face. Tear after tear after tear. When we left that place, that man was changed. Not that he wasn't a good godly man before, but he went deeper, you see. God led him into deeper water. God's always wanting to take us deeper, folks. Are you satisfied with the place you're at? Do you want to just stay where you're at from now on till the day you die? I mean, a lot of Christians, they are. They say, I want to hold on to the world with one hand and I want to hold on to the kingdom of God with the other hand. Let me tell you something. You're in the middle of the road and anything in the middle of the road gets run over from both directions. I heard a fellow say one time, he said, you got to decide which side of the fence you're going to get on, God's side or the devil's side. Remember, the devil owns the fence line. So he leads us beside still waters. By the way, sheep don't like to drink from babbling brooks. I did one of my papers in college on shepherds and sheep, and that was an amazing thing. They like still water to drink from. Number three, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Hallelujah. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Glory to God. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. One of the great blessings of having a good shepherd is knowing, and I touched on this earlier, but he will never lead you the wrong way. But when we get off track, he knows how to get us on track. Amen? Shepherd's rod. Shepherd carried several things. He had a staff. That was the crooked thing. He would use that to pull sheep out of ditches. Sheep just keep their heads down and graze all day long, not watch where they were. And they could step off a edge of a cliff or fall into a crevasse. And he would take that crook staff and he'd reach it around them below their arms and he would pull them up out of that. That was the staff. He also carried a little pouch with medicine in it. Had medicated oils in this pouch that he would use to put on the ears that were get torn from briars and things and on the feet and hooves of the sheep. Or if they got injured in some way, he had medicine for them. But then he had a defensive weapon, and it was this, like I was telling the little children, the rod. The rod. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Let me tell you, God wants to lead us the right way. Now you hear this morning. God told me to make sure I emphasize this. But you know what? If we keep going away from God, God will do what's necessary to bring us back into the fold. Do you know that I've read and studied that what they do, a lot of times a sheep will become obstinate, rebellious, and he will wander away from the fold constantly. Instead of staying with the flock and staying together, he'll wander away, and that makes him a target for a wolf, right? And so I'm told that what the shepherd, a good shepherd, will do this, and he doesn't like doing it. Stand up, Donnie. I'm not going to do it. He'll take one of the legs of that sheep, and he'll take this rod, because it's very weighted at the end, and he'll pop, and he'll fracture one of the legs. He'll break that sheep's leg. Then he takes his medicine bag out. He puts medicine on it. And he puts a splint on it. And he binds it up. And then he carries that sheep on his shoulders. If you've ever seen a picture of Jesus carrying a sheep, that's what it's about. My home church, there's one with a big, beautiful stained glass mural behind the pulpit. And it has Jesus carrying a sheep on his shoulders. And I'm told that he would carry this sheep for 6 weeks or better till the leg was totally healed up. And then when the leg was healed up, he would take the binding off and the splint. And the sheep would walk with a little bit of a limp for a while. But I'm told that from that point forward, that sheep would never leave the shepherd's side again. You know, I'm going to tell you, sometimes some of the bad things we've had happen in our lives hadn't come from the devil. Everybody blames the devil. Sometimes God's doing something good for us. He's breaking a leg and it hurts. Oh, it hurts. My goodness, it hurts. But God is trying to keep us alive, folks. And he's trying to keep us with him. A good shepherd will lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name's sake. Let me tell you, anything you do as a Christian, it doesn't just reflect on you. It reflects on Oakey Grove Church. It also, most importantly, reflects on our Father. Yes. And we need to think about that. It's real important. Y'all still there? Yes. I'm getting near the end, but don't go to sleep. You can sleep this afternoon. Next, and I'm just about through. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Again, the rod to protect us, the staff to comfort us. And then he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. We need to stay close to the good shepherd because every one of us has an enemy that's out to do us in. And I promise you, I've seen this. When people will get out of church and quit going to God's house, they become prey to the enemy. They quit reading their Bibles and they suddenly quit praying. Everything's going great. They forget about God once everything's going great. And then suddenly, without any warning, something comes upon them and the enemy attacks. And let me tell you something, folks. You're out from under God's umbrella of protection when you get away from God. And sometimes the Lord will let the old devil grab a hold of you and shake you a little bit to let you see how much you need to be close to him. Let me tell you something, folks. Everything may be going great for you right now, but you need to make sure you stay close to the shepherd. When things are going good, when things are going bad, you stay close to the shepherd. Don't forget about him. Don't forget about him. And he says, my cup runneth over. Hallelujah. My cup runneth over. You know, one of the great things about the good shepherd is he knows how to fill you up. Amen? Amen. He knows how to fill us up. Have you ever been in church and, Brother Larry, your cup just run over? You felt God's presence in such a way that your cup run over? There's an old song that talks about my cup's run over. I'm drinking from a saucer. You know? And I like that. My cup's run over. God can do that for you. And he does do that for you. But then he comes to the last thing I want to tell you about the good shepherd in this psalm. He says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, I say this also every time. I'll say it again. We got a good shepherd out in front of us, but praise God, he's got two good sheepdogs following us. Two of them. Two sheepdogs. One of them's name's Goodness, and the other's name Mercy. And as long as we walk with the good shepherd, he's going to make sure that sheepdog of Goodness is following us. And that sheepdog of Mercy, he's following us. They got our flank. And all you got to do is concentrate on the shepherd. And he'll take care of everything else. The sheepdog's got what's behind you. And the last thing I'll say about the good shepherd is this. In verse 11, our first scripture we read today, he said, I am the good shepherd. Throw it up there. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You know, I read of several different instances where really good shepherds have died protecting their sheep. They will. They'll lay their life on the line because they love those sheep so much. Let me tell you something. We have the great shepherd. And he laid his life on the line for us on the cross. He died for you. He died for you. Who's died for you? Who's died for you? Has anybody else died for you? Maybe a serviceman or woman gave their life to protect our country. But Jesus died on a cross for you and me. And the thing is, we had done him wrong. But he loved us so deeply that he said, nope, I'm not going to let them perish. I'm going to die for them that cross. And if they'll just believe in me, they'll have eternal life. This morning, the good shepherd says it's time to get back in the fold. It's Easter time, folks. It's time to get in the fold. It's time to draw close. Stay close to the shepherd. I don't want to be at a distance from him. I want to be like that sheep that's always right on his heels, you know. I want to be right there with him where I smell his fragrance all the time. When I can hear his voice right there so close to me, I want to stay right there with him. And today, folks, it's time to get close. It's time to get close. It's time for you to wake up from your slumber. It's time for you to quit playing church and quit going through the motions and just coming once in a while, putting a dime in the pot and saying, I've done something for God. It's time for you to get close to the shepherd today, folks. Jesus is about to return. And I'm going to tell you something like one person said, get right or get left. I'm not going to tell it any differently. We need to get close to that shepherd today, folks. We're in the Easter season. He's calling us, come. It doesn't matter what you've done. He loves you and he'll take you in. He'll take you in. But you got to wake up this morning. And let me tell you something. I know some people say, well, you know, I got to find some church where they just make me feel good all the time. Let me tell you something. No. You got a great church right here. What you need to do is start praying more. You need to get that Bible more. And you need to start seeking God more. Because I promise you, he's just as real today as he was last Sunday when we blew the doors off the place. He's just as real today. But it's how much do you want? How much do you want of him? I'm going to ask everybody to stand. We're going to stand. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. What is our song this morning? Draw me close to you, Lord. Great Michael W. Smith song. While we sing this song, I hope there'll be people to come to these altars this morning and say, Lord, I want more of you. Lord, I want to get so close to you that, Lord, I'm just touching you all the time. I want to be able to smell your fragrance, Lord. I want to be so close to you that the devil, the wolves, will not even think about trying to touch me and my family. I'm going to draw that close to you, Lord. So you come while God speaks to you. You come while he speaks to you. But if there's somebody here today and you want to give your life to Christ, I'm going to ask you to come and let me or one of these pastors know. Pastors, come on down. Come and let us know if you want to give your life to Christ this morning. You say, well, what do I do to do that? You just pray and you ask him to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart. That's what you do. The psalmist said, give me your heart, young man. Give me your heart. Today, would you come give your heart to Jesus? Tell Brother Keith, Brother Harry and myself this morning that you want to give the Lord your heart, and we'll tell you how to do it. Brother Jamie.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'cause nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, help me find the way, bring me back to you. You're all I've been.